Jesse David Charles Perkins the fourth and the fifth. What's happening, my friend? And we are live. Welcome, my friends, to the Waffle Mafia podcast once again. This is your spot for your weekly waffle wrap-up, Tots. So thanks for joining me, kid-friendly. Let's get this underway. What's happening there, Jesse, man? What do you say? I'd like to say a hello to anybody that jumps in to say what's happening and hanging out with me. And we'll get this thing rolling with a pause for the cause, you see. So we like to start them all off with that, get a pause for the cause underway. And if you'll have a look at something new, man, what can I say? Ooh, so glorious. Beautiful looking Stein. Came on over to me from a couple of friends of mine. So Mr. Black, Mr. Michael Black, and Kimberly Powers Black from Power Black family. I thank you guys so much. Got me a Miller Lite Eternian mug. So there that is. I'll talk about it again here in a minute. What's up, Main Ore? What's going on, my friend? Already win anything yet? That's great. What's up, Simpson? What's going on? Bruce Gilbert's Grapes, I'm already here. What's up, legends? Let's drink some beer. We'll have a little pause for the calls. What's up, Mr. Otis? What's going down? And let's take this beer on down to Pound Town. So, wanted to get together tonight, talk about, of course, everything that's happened this previous week. We've had a lot of things going on, of course, with Super 7, with the reveals. For PowerCon, so that was super interesting. We'll go through some of that real quick. We're going to do a feature character spotlight like we normally do. Of course, you guys got the gist, because when it's Thursday and Wednesday's missed, then you already know who we're talking about for the night when I throw out the promo, right? So Lodar is our fellow of the evening to do our character profile. That is who it be. Got a terrible glare off of the plastic. Oh, there we go. Beautiful shot at Lodar, bro. He is beautiful. He is the evil master of celestial magic. We'll talk about him here in just a few. But first, we're going to do a wrap-up and make it do what it do. What's up, Ruth? What's going on? Mr. E-Daddy, what's happening, my friend? I thank each and every one of you guys for jumping in. Thanks for taking your time to come over and do this thing with me tonight. And, of course, talk about Masters and some other figures, all right? So, what's up, Sweeney? What's going on, my friend? You know, we try to keep it professional, bro. You know, that's the thing. Here in the Waffle Mafia, at any time that you can stunt, please do so. And that's what it be. This Perry Ellis tie and the sleeveless Budweiser is what it be. So anybody, of course, who listens to this at a later time, I'm sorry. But no, if you listen on Podbean at a later time, or maybe you listen through iTunes, you can listen on YouTube also as well, but you don't get the glorious visuals that are in front of your face, which is always me with a tie that just seems out of place. And, of course, we're drinking beer and doing that too, and then running through a little podcast with you. So thanks for hanging with me and, of course, putting up with me too. I mean, that is always the toughest part of doing what we do. What's up, Fafard? What's going on, my friend? A little shout out to you as well. Yeah, man. Cut-off shirts. Cut-off shirts are where it be. I mean, I got to do it, man. It's on my figure, you see. So my beautiful figure from Mr. Eric Glenn, spared no detail. He got me shirtless, my friend. So, or shirtless, Lord. Not shirtless for Jesse, Lord. That's all wrong. He got the figure that's got my sleeves gone. So, there we go. Yeah. So, last week, let's talk about last week. Let's do a little quick wrap up and talk about what we did last week. Long day, had me flying to the airport, never heard from them. Yes, apparently a pretty big deal. Migos. Never heard of Migos, D. You should definitely check that out. You can walk it like you talk it, bro. So that's pretty cool. They flew into your airport, yo. That's an awesome deal. That totally threw me. I have no idea where it was going. Oh, we did some cool stuff last week. Let's talk about that. Yeah. So absolutely have to talk about that. Last week, of course, Saturday, we've not seen each other since Saturday, so we've not actually gotten a chance to sit down and talk Masters since then. But on Saturday, we did our crazy Scaredy Tots wheel, my friend. So we did Scaredy Tots here at Lucky Legends. That, of course, in conjunction with Scareglow's house. And we're doing that for the Toys for Tots drive that we're going to keep running throughout the year. So it's not something that, kind of like we did before, where we're just going to focus on it at Christmas time and try to get everybody in there. We did John Itis heading it up this year, kind of getting the ball rolling early and getting things underway. So, you know, we're going to keep up with that drive all year long. We're going to try to keep the money funneling in different places. And we're going to kick it over to different groups so that we can share the love and not everybody's bearing the burden of throwing in tons of money. Of course, it's going to happen at different times. So we're trying to space them out a little bit so that if you guys do want to get in on all of them, you're able to do that too. And it's not such a big impact on the wallet as well. Especially as we get a little bit closer to Christmas time. What's up, Lindsay? What's going on? Yeah, thank you, girl. That was a lot of fun to do. So I think that was like maybe Toys for Tots wheel number 3. I don't know. We did one the first year, of course. We did one for this past Christmas. And then now that we're in this new year, we're trying to move forward for what will end up be going to the kids in December. So here was the kicker with that, if you guys don't know. Toys for Tots, last year, were able to give $1,000. We gave that money to the candy man, Chris Hummel, and, of course, he is over there at Enjoy the Toy. Chris was able to go buy the toys with the money, and he gets a discount. So because of that discount, we were able to get, using the $1,000, able to get about $4,000 worth of toys for the kids. So what we thought this year was, how cool would it be if we could show up with $4,000? What would that be? So, you know, could we turn our 4 into 12? You know, I don't know. But what we're really shooting for is we want to have $5,000, yo. So $5,000 for Toys for Tots, and then we'll turn that around and see what that becomes. And keep you all updated with the process all along the way. And a big shout out and a thank you to everybody who got into play, because we maxed the wheel out. And for anybody who doesn't know, these wheels, what are they, man, that you're speaking of, bro? Come on over to Lucky Legends, join the Waffle Mafia, Lord of Destruction Waffles, most powerful waffles, my brother down at Law Wheel. Come see what we do and how we make it squeal. Don't hate it till you tried it. You might like it just once. Come over here and have some waffles with us, son. So we do waffles over here, and that's what it be, and that's why it's called the Waffle Mafia Podcast, you see. So there you go. What's up, Gilbert? Yeah, what's going down? Talking about Chris. He's magical somehow. Yeah, that is true. My rhymes are already starting. This is terrible. What's going on? Charles C. Smith gave it a little rock and roll. I like it when somebody jumps up in it with rock and roll. To me, it's a Point Break reference that can never be missed. It's got to be muffled behind the face of the dead precedents. Okay, that's enough rhyming, Johnson. We got to stop. Let's get back over to the Masters world. So last Saturday, we got crazy. We spun for it, girl. We spun for so much stuff, man. I was just all up on that wheel. Let's pause for the calls, and then I'll tell you how I feel. Chugging during the podcast, also never a good thing. Toys for Tots, we raised $1,000 with Max the Wheel out entirely. Gave away a little Scare Glow magnet that went out to Scotty Doesn't Know, Mr. Sean Scarna. Did some Scaredy Cash that went out to quite a few people. Paul Rudman, Ruth, Evermore Customs, Johnny 99, John English, myself. I actually got to keep a piece of Scaredy Cash. I actually still had four or five more pieces of Scaredy Cash to give away. Maybe tonight if there's something that gets underway, we could give away a little bit of that maybe and pass a little bit of that on, because we want to make sure that everybody gets a little Scaredy Cash going. We did a Mega Construct Scare Glow Custom that went out to Mr. Black. And speaking of Mr. Black, I got to give a shout out again. This beautiful Stein here, my friends. So check it out. Just imagine that. It fits in my hands. And it's from old Caesar's Palace, man. That's pretty cool. So that was the Light Beer $200,000 World Series of Tavern Pool Tournament that was going down back in 1983. Hell, man. This sucker's almost as old as me. So I appreciate that. That's something very cool sent to me from Kimberly Power Black and Mr. Michael Black. I appreciate that, you guys. I'm going to use this to drink beer, all right? Now, the very cool thing about this is when this was designed and first released in its first wave back in 1983, along with the other evil mugs, this mug was very special because they knew that one day in the future, now this was in pre-Muggia, but in future Muggia, that there would be a brother come along that would need something to help get his beer gone. And so they thought about me because they knew I did Tall Boys. Check that out. They designed it right somehow, so I appreciate that, guys. Thank you all very much. Let's go ahead and kill that and get that sucker gone. Stratos, man, you've been drinking too long. Let's get a one-handed pop on it. Oh, man, that's never good. And there we go. Something you learned back in college, bro. Handles, they're fancy. All right. And where are we at? Yeah. We were talking about that John English cat. He won a Scare Glow pin. Scare Glow Pop from Mr. Delaney. Mr. Delaney picked up a couple things. Got a Beastman Mega Constructs. Custom Alien Scare Glow Bus. That went to Brandy Durig. Fangor. Of course, we did Fangor last week, too. And we did that as like a little bit of syrupy Saturday preview before we got into the thing. Fangor Cristobal Dabila. Boogie Robertson sent out a craft that's going to go out to Chris Hummel. It's his glow-in-the-dark craft, Scare Glow. That was pretty cool. Hawk goes to E-Daddy. He wiped out my red light squirrel. Sawblade Stratos facing forward. That went to Evermore. Let's see. Stratos and Scare Glow Minis, Mr. Johnny Miz, Scare Glow, Sawblade, Evermore, Beastman Constructs, Mr. Rudman, Ruddy Buddy. Ruddy Buddy was quite the winner on the wheel. He had a 3-pack of Dorbs that he made squeal. He also took home the Scare Glow at midnight, and he traded that to me. So I am very thankful for your trade, Mr. Rudman, you see, because I am not only the founder of Lucky Legends, I'm also a collector. No, y'all know what it'd be. Hey, man, anytime that I can get a hold of something cool, you see, I try. And most of the time, I'm getting it for y'all. But every once in a while, I just really wish that I could make that pig or squall. So after that waffle was over, Ruddy and I were talking, and he was like, man, I just really wiped it up, and I don't really even need a Scare Glow, but I'm super happy about it and really pumped. And I was like, man, you know, I know somebody who does need a Scare Glow if you don't. And so we worked out a deal, and I really appreciate Mr. Rudman helping me make it squeal. So now I do finally have Scare Glow in my collection, and that's pretty cool. I only get to pick up a figure or two here and there because, honestly, guys, everything I get for you all. But sometimes if a cool opportunity presents itself or if there's a trade or if I can buy figures at good prices, I try to. Speaking of that, the market, oh, my lord. Have you guys been over to eBay lately? If not, make sure you're sitting down because these prices are just way out of town. Classics figures right now are probably the highest I have seen them, at least while I've had skin in the game. So, you know, that's been just a few minutes. So I have been at this for a few, but man, these prices, man, is making it do what it do. It's just insane. So a lot of hype about the property, a lot of talk about He-Man, which is always a good thing. To have Masters in the spotlight. However, that documentary through Netflix and that kind of stuff kind of driving the prices up and just making things really crazy. And so prices on vintage, I mean, as well, just absolutely through the roof. Really, any kind of He-Man memorabilia right now is just ridiculously high. So, you know, it's those kind of things that we see going on, and we don't necessarily want to support that and continue to buy at these prices and drive these things up. But, I mean, what more can you do for the stuff that you love? You just got to go ahead and get it. And so, you know, I do appreciate when I see things going on in the group, you guys giving each other fair prices and really just helping each other out and help build collections, because this is what this was all started about. It was about helping each other and you know, doing what was cool, and so sharing things. And I thought it was very cool what Eric brought up earlier today, Mr. Zertouche, the Traveler. So the Traveler concept was something that he picked up from Instagram. It was something from some other groups he was a part of. They participated in it once before. It was something he wanted to do for Lucky Legends. So, of course, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Eric Zertouche, he does Zertouche Customs. They're absolutely beautiful. He customizes classic figures, makes different types of figures. He's done some others, too. Not always necessarily a Motu figure, but for the stuff that we love, the Z Wheel, Mr. Zertouche always makes it squeal. So he's doing this thing where what we have is more or less it's a DC He-Man buck or a DC He-Man with the Alcala head, and he has customized and put the boot dagger in for the side of his boot. He's carrying an Alcala sword. It's very neat. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out a little bit further down on the page. And so the idea being that he will just travel around. So he will go to somebody, he will stay for a little while, he will be a part of their collection, he will have some photos made sort of documenting his trails, and then people will give him, you know, a little bit of backstory, tell a little bit of something about him, what he does, an adventure that he had, and then send him on over to some other cat. And so the cool thing about that is everybody in the group eventually, at some point, gets to enjoy the Traveler, and he gets sent around and sort of visits different houses. And, you know, how cool is that, you know, to be a part of something that's bigger, you know? So that's kind of the thing that we've always tried to do with this thing. And what more can I say, man? 801 people as of today. So absolutely crazy that we have that many people in the Mafia showing the Mafia love. And, guys, it's just a testament to you all and all the love. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you all doing what you do and always being awesome, cool squirrels and dudes. And so I'll drink to that, man. Let's pause for the calls with it. Let's get it on. Real quick, Super 7, and then we got to get Lodar going. Super 7 this past week revealed, of course, the PowerCon exclusives. They are going on pre-order on the 7th. So April the 7th, they're going to go on pre-order. You'll be able to pick those up. I don't know what the pre-order is running through. I think it's like through the beginning of May. maybe the first week or two of May. Somebody can help me with that. I don't know. What's up, JD Gibbs? What's going on, my man? Yeah, kind of like Flat Stanley. That's pretty awesome. But yeah, so I don't know the exact dates on the ending of the pre-order, but here is the thing. In the past, if you didn't attend the con, you were not able to get the PowerCon exclusives unless you had somebody at the con pick one up for you, or you had already planned to pick them up on the aftermarket. The nice thing that Super 7 has done this time that is quite different than what we've seen in the past is they are allowing non-attendees to be able to order the con exclusives. So you don't have to miss out on what the con exclusives are this year, or at least from a standpoint of being able to order it right away. Now, the cool kicker is the people who are going to the con, you may pick yours up there, and that's cool because you already have them in your hand, and that is a nice little kickback for going to the con. Now, the folks who are not going to the con, who are the non-attendees, there is a video on Super 7's page and also over on He-Man.org that will let you know what the process is if you want to do the pre-orders, yo. So it kind of walks you through step by step. It shows you exactly what to click on. Of course, understand that these are a bit different. You don't have to buy the whole set, so that's pretty cool too. You're able to order them individually, so if there's a particular one that you want. Of course, we talked about last week, we had the reveal with Chopper. We had the reveal, of course, Spike Lore first, then we had Chopper. And then the big reveal, I guess, for day three was the two-pack that we see of Driel and Montork, you see. So, old Uncle Montork and Driel, man, absolutely beautiful, glorious sculpts, beautiful again. But what we see is one and two and then a two-pack, my friends. So, four beautiful figures for PowerCon. You can order them. They are $50 a piece. So, that is kind of the thing. If you buy all four, however, you do get a discount. There is a 15% discount for buying all four. So, that is pretty cool, too. Or all three, I guess you would say, because the two-pack is counted as, you know, one purchase. So there are three things that you would be purchasing. Normally, I think that's $150. That's $50 a piece. And then you get your discount. So there you go. Very cool. You can also order multiples of a particular figure if you buy the set. I don't know that there was a prerequisite. You absolutely have to buy the set to buy multiples. Since we're able to order individually, I would think not. However, I did note in what I was watching that you can only get 10 of each one on a particular order, and then you would have to start over and order another set again. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of crazy. But I understand there are people that buy in bulk. David Carbulka, the Incredible Bulk, who has a a full basement underground shelter of all the things he loves. Let's have a little pause for the calls for the God Waffler, son. He is the fellow that puts a horse head in your bed, and he is the guy that got this mafia thing on a roll. And that's a little pause for the calls for you there, bro. Big shout out to Johnny Mystery, too. When he gets out of Facebook jail, there's a filmation he's going to do. So, MPA, if you guys have not checked that out, that's he-bay.com. And here in a minute, I'll tell you about how you got to ask your mom. But first, let's talk about Lodar. We just got a few more minutes, and then I'm going to turn it around, and we're going to get up in it and spin it. Lodar, for those of you all who don't know, I don't know how you couldn't. Maybe you've never read the mini comics. Maybe you don't know much about the stuff from the past. But the thing with Lodar is he came by us twice real fast. So what we got was old Lodar back in Slave City. He was released. And beautiful reconstruction of him here. But there never was a vintage toy, just to be clear. So for those of y'all who didn't, now you know, there never was a vintage Lodar, yo. So there's Lodar. The evil master of celestial magic. So that says a lot about his character right there, and it's very interesting that his tagline has a whole lot to do with not only how the character ended up, but also the things that he has the ability to do. So his origin, of course, is tied to the mini comic Slave City. So if you guys can turn with me in your mini comic Bible, it's right here in the holy text. We're going to turn over to page 386, and that is the opening for Slave City. So Slave City, if you guys are not aware, is one of the grittier comics in the He-Man series, or in our mini-comic series, done by Larry Houston, or illustrated by Larry Houston. Absolutely beautiful. We don't know who wrote Slave City, which is very interesting, but it says the story is based upon a Filmation episode, A Tale of Two Cities. So that is very interesting there, and I'll touch on that here in just a minute. But Slave City opens up. We have Prince Adam and Cringer sort of out doing their thing, and we see these new creatures, the kobolds. We've never seen the kobolds before, so we see these new creatures, the kobolds. They are actually dragging off Princess Reyna. Now, in this particular mini, Princess Reyna is a new figure or a new character. We don't know her. She is Native American, so she's sort of dark hair. She's Native American looking in dress, and it says, "Yell, pretty one. No one is here to help you. We take you to Targa." So we immediately find out that there is a new city that we know nothing about named Targa. What's happening, Mr. Knight, though? What's going on? Hello, Bobby Aaron Hartman. How are you, good sir? I'm catching up in the chat room. Forgive me there, folks. Bobby, what's up? Oh, man, this is a beautiful mini-comic. Need to read this book some more. Bobby, I tell you what. You PM me your address, Bobby Aaron Hartman, and if you have not read Slave City, I will have a copy of it on the way to you tomorrow, good sir. Because everybody should have a copy of this fine piece of American literature. Slave City is one of the finest mini comics that we have in the entire collection, sir. You just let me know. if you've never read this, I will get it out to you, bro. So what we see is here in the beginning, and now this is very interesting because, and this is a big, I want to give a shout out, and this is a birthday shout out for Tyler Baker over at Fans of Power. Tyler, I actually listened to yours and Joe's commentary on Slave City a little bit earlier today in preparing to talk about Slave City tonight. And one of the things that I thought that you brought out that was very interesting was the fights. Oh my gosh, guys, if you guys can get up in here, what you'll see is this comic is full of action. Look at this. He-Man is probably taking on, what do we got, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. You got probably 10 or 11 kobolds here. Destroy, kill, taste the power of Grayskull. This is not a soft mini comic by any means. So it's very vicious. There's a lot of action. There's a lot going on. Now, He-Man saves Reyna. They have to cross the river, and there's a bridge. He-Man makes a bridge out of a tree. We see that in both the mini comic, and there is an accompanying Filmation episode called A Tale of Two Cities. So in A Tale of Two Cities, we see pretty much the exact same thing. The story, almost exactly the same. However, Reyna is not Native American in the Tale of Two Cities in the Filmation version. And we meet another character who is Garn. And if you look closely, Garn also
looks like a Native American. He's in Native American dress. He's got the mohawk. In fact, he's somewhat Geldorish looking. But there's Garn, much cooler than Geldor, in my opinion. But what we see is here you've got another character introduced there, B. So here is one of those situations where, I don't know, from a marketing standpoint, I just thought it would be cool. What if Super 7 did a Garn 2-pack, dude? So Garn, another one of those figures that we've never gotten. But obviously Garn was pretty tough because Lodar made him fight He-Man and stuff. And if you look, there are several panels that are devoted to He-Man and Garn. So this was kind of the thing that Tyler brought out that I thought was a cool piece of yarn, because there is so much action in this mini-comic, you don't really quite realize how many panels are truly devoted to He-Man and Garn and He-Man and Lodar just actually going at it. This mini comic is about 23 pages of just just fighting is all it is. So that's absolutely awesome when you market that to kids. Here is a very interesting chance for Super 7 to do something cool. And I just thought about it earlier while I was thinking about all of you. What if we had a Garn 2-pack? And we had a Native American Garn, because he's Native American, obviously, in dress and look and speech and everything in this particular comic. And we had a tribal African American Garn, which is the way that he looks in the Filmation episode. So you could have a 2-pack that simply said Garn, and then you had the two different iterations. One of them would be in Filmation styling, which would have the more of the Filmation look, which is the stuff that we're getting in or the Club Grayskull, as we should call it, which is what we got in the reveals. Those are all Club Grayskull. But we could have a Club Grayskull looking figure, and then we could also have a Garn done in Collector's Choice. So that would be really awesome to get a Garn 2-pack. Geldor, another one of those figures that we never got in the vintage line, but we did eventually get. And that brings us to the star of the show here, kids. So, Lodar. Lodar got his name by incident, and we'll talk about that too. But a very interesting figure that we never got. There, dude. So what we see is in Slave City, the battle continues. Now, in Tale of Two Cities, we don't actually have Lodar, because Lodar got named because of sort of a little bit of a mishap. So we didn't have that happen in Filmation. It was Draka. So Draka takes the place of Lodar in that particular case. But, man, it's amazing how you get your memory back when you get hit with a mace. So, oh, my head, and He-Man's out, and there you go. And that was a big old swing from Garn there, bro. So what we see there is Garn is a very good opponent for He-Man, and only when he gets his head smashed with a mace does he remember, I am He-Man, and rocks Garn all over the place. So there it is. And there you go. He-Man remembering who he is there, bro. Now, enough fighting Garn. You will have your freedom. The Stranger has the right to kill Garn. So what we see is, if you look closely in the background here, over here, we got Lodar giving the thumbs down. He wants He-Man to kill Garn. Guys, this is not something nice for playtime. This is not a story to put the kids to bed with. We're talking about a gladiator arena and people fighting to the death to be released from the enslavery of Lodar. Now, Lodar has control of Targa. He-Man says, there will be no blood shed today, Lodar. And the fighting begins. So here we begin fighting, He-Man and Lodar. Now, if you will notice, they are trading blows. There's a lot of walk and thwack and crack and slam and zock and bock and bam and brack and zot. Look at this madness, guys. The fighting goes on and on and on. Could it be that Lodar is actually a very worthy adversary? Oh my goodness, guys. And this was how he was originally drawn. This was the concept they had for this guy. And some people say, oh man, he's just a Shredder ripoff. No, guys. Lodar existed before the Shredder. And that's sad to say, but he came first and he came to play. So, old Lodar, drawn by Mr. Larry Houston. And this would be another interesting figure to talk to Larry about, to find out if Larry knows that this figure has been made, because he was unaware that Geldor had been made. And he was very interested by that. He thought it was very interesting. It really blew his mind, to be quite honest, that he did not know that that figure had ever been made. And to see that figure that he drew be made in play, I mean, it was very cool, guys, very cool. But anyway, we see He-Man and we see Lodar go at it, man. Absolute battle. And it's only when He-Man turns Lodar's own magic against him that he takes him out. Run, Lodar, magic no more. Underground with his kobolds is where He-Man will send him. And that is when we find out Lodar's weakness. No, not that. I have no magic without the sun and the moon. So, very interestingly enough, if Lodar does not have access to the Eternian sun and moon, he has no power. So, what a cool concept for a figure. Now, interestingly enough, too, when I thought about that, or when I was reading about this earlier, reading about Lodar, of course, I remembered it from my childhood, but I wanted to reread it again and be able to talk to you guys about it. How cool would it be to just see this stuff from 2002? Okay, let me paint a little scenario for you, and then we're going to get out of here. We're going to do the waffle. We're going to get that thing on, and then Joss will get some toys gone. I was trying to be done with this bad boy by 11:30 and get that waffle on, but it not much longer we get some toys going. I'm going to pause for calls one more time before we get it in. Because I got to tell you my thoughts about old Lodar, my friends. So Lodar, the very first thing that jumped to my mind, and I thought about MYP 2002. I thought, imagine if Marzo was floating across the ground, my dudes. And here he comes, his amulet and all of his power is floating across. And he just lifts up a hand and shatters this mountain just as quick as he can. And underneath the mountain that rumbles and quakes and falls all to pieces, we got old Lodar with his mice and his mises. How awesome would that be to see him come up out of ground with that mace and all that stuff, son, carrying them chains, man. It can't be much fun for old He-Man. Now, Lodar the figure, very neat, very cool. We'll go over a couple of real quick specifics, and then we'll get him out of here, dude. He's got spiky stuff on the helmet. So those spikes are actually kind of sharp. These shoulder pads, man, this ain't just some football garb. This is actual reuse of Beastman's shoulder pads. So if you guys have not seen that, that is pretty cool. They are a bit more rubbery with the Super 7 version, dude. So that plastic that Super 7 is using, in some cases I absolutely hate it. In other cases I think it's great. And then this is one where it takes the cake, because if you pose him and you bring him up with the mace up in his hands, or you get him into particular poses, the armor's cool. It doesn't restrict his movements. So I watched quite a few videos on that today just to kind of get an idea of how the figure moved and that kind of thing, because obviously we haven't taken him out of the box yet. So The only bad thing, and I guess the drawback that some folks were talking about with this particular figure, and it has been a small complaint with some of the stuff from Super 7, is the way that the loincloth and the leg piece kind of marry up. Sometimes the leg piece will be outside of sort of your center crotch or loincloth piece. So it makes posing a bit weird when you have what, you know, the leg sort of sticking up over top of that piece there. Now, here he is all purple. We don't really have a backstory for him except for what was given to us in the mini comic, and then they come in and Penny Dreadful, I think they worked on some of these. I think Penny was in on some of this stuff in writing these killer bios here. So we got a cool little update with Lodar. He was a battle-scarred gladiator in the Preternian slave city of Targa when he stole magic from a sympathetic Zodak. Now, they bring that up, and that's a cool tie-in, because what actually happened with Lodar and the reason he is named who he be, they actually had to turn to get an L from a Z, because what happened was when the illustrators came in to do the book, they actually wrote his name as Zodak. So it was Zodak, Z-O-D-A-C, or actually spelled there with a K. So it was Zodak with a K. Larry, being unaware that there was another figure named Zodak, began drawing this particular figure and was going to call him Zodak. Real quick, fast, and in a hurry, they decide, oh my lord, there's already another figure named Zodak. This new villain named Zodak with a K definitely won't work. So in a really quick fit of creative editing, they knock off part of the Z, that leaves the L. And then if you look over at what would have been the K, if you circle that out, it makes an R. So Lodar was born, and there you go. The more you know. So there we go, guys. And there's what it be. I appreciate y'all doing this Waffle Mafia podcast with me. Again, shout out to Tyler Baker. It's his birthday, man, over at Fans of Power. That's a sister podcast. Check that out, too. At popculturenetwork.com, man, they're the ones that make it do what it do. Big shout out to Doug Turner, Dirt, the producer. Thank you, sir, for doing all the stuff and the behind-the-scenes magic and, like, Lodar shooting shit out your hands and always coming in here and scraping up my empty beer cans. I appreciate you, brother. And, hey, man, another little shout-out, too. I got to give a shout-out to my Masters of the Galaxy dude. Big shout out to Brian Ozone doing his thing over there at Masters of the Galaxy. Check that out too. Enjoy the toy with old Chris Hummel, dude. Check out Scareglove's house. That's with Mr. Itis, old Johnny. Check him out too. And man, come over and hang with the Waffle Mafia and help us do what we do. Couldn't do any of this stuff without any of you guys. And I hope y'all realize. We'll have a little pause for the calls, and give me five minutes. I promise we're going to get it in. It is time to do old Lodar on a spin. Thank you guys for hanging with me, and we will see you guys next week, and hopefully it'll be on Wednesday, you see, and maybe just a little bit earlier. Here we go. Johnson's about to start pounding some tall boys, yo. So, thank you guys for hanging with me, man, and making it do what it do. I'm just rambling, baby, and I'm talking to you. Who else is in the comments over there? I will read it before I go to bed. Bobby, Aaron Hartman, I like what you said. Let's see what else we got here. Mr. Knight, though, very Batman. You know what it be. Herb is like 25 on Amazon, you see. Get over there and buy it, man. Let's send it out in rhymes, and I appreciate y'all, boys and girls, all the time. We'll see you in a minute, man. Let's get it on and get over here and get some toys going. Peace.